Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 19 years now we have been bringing these messages to you. We praise the Lord for this day, for the radio station, for all the prayers and provision to keep this program on the air, and for you, the listener, as you tune in today. And if this is your first time tuning in, we invite you back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop, a regular place on your worship day on Sunday. And we thank the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about part two in our discussion on the role of government. And we're thinking especially in terms of borders and security and protecting the citizens of the United States. What is the role of the government to protect citizens? And so if you have your Bible there, we're going to start in Romans chapter 13. And we'll start in verse 4 here again. This is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We'll be with you here with the message from Romans chapter 13, verse 4 here in just a minute. Want to give you a brief update what's going on here in Kenya, coming to you from Kenya today, having a beautiful day and beautiful weather the last couple of weeks. It's starting to warm up, but we're still getting rains, which is very unusual for this time of year. The children are all in school, and they are doing well. They will be in school till about April, and then they get a break after the first term, then they go back to school till August or so for the second term of this year. So we're doing a lot in the ministry, reaching out to people in the community of the village of Makunda. Majority of the people in that village are Muslim people, and so we have a big challenge reaching them with the gospel. We also have some construction projects going. Just finished a beautiful new toilet for the main children's home house, and we've got a lot going on in the farm, raising beans, raising vegetables, getting ready to plant 2 or 3 acres of maize. And so we've got a lot going on. If you want to support this ministry, you're welcome to do it. We invite you to do that. Stay tuned to the end of this broadcast for contact information. Well, today we're going to be talking about the role of government, and we have a serious issue going on here in the United States of America, and everybody knows about it, and anybody with any common sense knows this is a very serious issue of allowing all these people from many nations, not just Mexico. It's the Mexican border that is open, but it's not just Mexican people coming across. It's people coming from Venezuela, people coming from Pakistan, Afghanistan, China, and many other nations that are sworn enemies of the United States of America. So just to let these people in, unfiltered, unvetted, without any regard for what happens to them after they come in, is a serious dereliction of duty, a serious dereliction of what the government is supposed to be doing to protect the citizens of America. And so this is a serious issue that is going to plague America for many, many years. And I think the thing that we need to do the most is pray for wisdom for our leaders, for our government officials, and pray for resolve to carry out policies that actually do protect the people and the citizens of the United States. Well, in Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul speaks about the role of government. And we talked about this quite a bit last week from this same passage of Scripture, but I'm going to just start in verse 4 today. And Paul says, "For the government, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he, the government, does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." Well, what Paul is saying here is that governments have been installed in place by God himself, And especially in the United States of America, we have a government that is elected by the people, for the people, because of the people. The leaders themselves, those who are elected, those who run for office, come from the electorate. They come from the people themselves. Government is not an entity in itself. Government has no money of its own. And government is instituted by God to serve the people. And also, God has instituted government to be the avenger of wrath for those who practice evil amongst the people, amongst the electorate, those who choose to be in rebellion and do things illegally, expect to come into conflict with the government who bears the sword for God and who is the instrument that God has appointed to carry out good in that nation. Well, obviously, everything that the government does in the USA or any other nation is not good. It's not all good, but it's mostly good. It helps keep order. We have police, we have highway patrol, we have National Guard, we have state guard units, and they are put in place to maintain law and order. We have to be a nation of laws, even here in Kenya, with all the chaos that goes on in Kenya and other African nations, all the coups and all of the chicanery that goes on around elections and the violence that goes on around elections, the protests. Here in Kenya, we've had many protests in the last 2 years since the election in 2022. But in spite of all that goes on, the government is still God's instrument for good. And we have a government that is striving to try to maintain law and order, striving to raise taxes to pay off the debt in Kenya, pay off the debt in America. And so the governments have been instituted by God. They have been put in place by God to bring order and to bring order where there would ordinarily be chaos, where there would ordinarily be anarchy, where there would ordinarily be danger to all citizens. It is important for the government then to bear the sword. And Paul says that the government does not bear the sword in vain. In other words, the government has a purpose in bearing the sword. The government has a purpose in putting police on the street. The government has a purpose in putting the National Guard on the southern border. The government also has a purpose in the exterior world, also in the world, the foreign world outside of the borders of the United States, to try to establish order there. We have presence in the Middle East primarily to combat ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab and all of these organizations that are terrorist organizations. If we don't take them out on their home turf, if we don't take them out in their hiding places and the places where they are incubating, they're going to come to the shores of America, and now they're able to walk into this country basically without any regard for where they're going, what they're going to do, who they are, what is their purpose for coming. And so this is a great dereliction of duty and a great disregard for the safety and security and prosperity of the people of the United States of America. So Paul says the government does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's minister. He is an avenger to execute wrath for those who practice evil. And so the vengeance for those who practice evil comes from the government. We are a nation of law and order. We have courts, we have jails, we have prisons, we have capital punishment, which I don't agree with in all cases, but in many cases I believe it's appropriate. But we have these institutions in place to deal with those who practice evil, because we have the authority under God, under the Ten Commandments, under the law and commandments of God, and under the Constitution of the United States. We have the authority to deal with those who practice evil. Well, Paul goes on to say in verse 5, therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. In other words, Paul is saying, don't just be a good citizen because you're afraid of the wrath of the government. Don't just abide by the law because you're afraid of what consequences you might pay, that you might end up in jail, but also abide by the law for your own conscience' sake. Do what is right. Do what is right. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation. It is good to do the right thing. It is good to do what God has told you to do through His holy word. Be in submission to government authorities. Be in submission to your pastor. Be in submission if you're a teenager or a young person. Be in submission to your father, your mother, who's in authority over you in your family. Do what is right. Righteousness exalts a nation, not only on a national scale when we as a country stop abortion, when we as a country stop doing things that are evil, when we as a country stop corruption amongst our government leaders and stop lying and cheating and stealing amongst our government leaders, and especially here in Kenya, that is a major, major issue that keeps people in poverty forever and ever. When we as a country do the right thing, it exalts a nation. When we as a country do the right thing, it opens up the blessings of God on the nation. It opens up the favor of God on a nation. And if you look at the nation of the United States of America, you can easily see that this nation has been blessed for 250 years or however many years. The nation has been blessed because by and large, we have been a nation that has abided by the law. We have been a nation, by and large, that we have been on our knees praying to God, crying out to God. Look at the history of the founding fathers, the documents that were put in place when this nation was established. We have been a nation that has been favored by God because we are a God-fearing nation. We print in God We Trust on our money. We print in God We Trust on our coins, and so as a result of that, we have favor from God. And if you don't believe that, come to Africa and move around in Africa, look at some of the nations here, and you see so many nations that are full of chaos, full of all kinds of violence, full of corruption, poverty that just goes on forever. And so the United States of America is a very special and a very peculiar nation among the nations of the world because God has given us favor because we have been on our knees and we are a God-fearing people. People that say America is not a Christian nation have never really studied the documents of this nation. They don't know what they're talking about. This nation was founded and ordained by God to be a light, a beacon to the nations of the world, to the peoples of the world, through people, missionaries spreading His word, through organizations printing Bibles, printing the gospel, printing tracts, all kinds of things, making movies about God and His word. And so this nation, the United States of America, is favored by God because we have been a beacon of light to the world. So then in verse 6, Paul says, "For because of this, you also pay taxes." Well, there's the issue of paying taxes. "For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing." Okay, the government has been given the authority to raise taxes, to build roads, to build schools, to provide health care, to provide defense from the exterior enemies, and also provide defense from the interior enemies. We have the Homeland Security that checks on the people in the United States, and we have the armed forces, the Marines and the Army, Navy, Coast Guard to protect us from our exterior enemies. And so from the taxes, we're able to continue to function as a functioning nation. And people pay taxes. Basically, it's a willing payment. It comes from the goodwill of the people towards the government. The government issues tax decrees, but without the will, the goodwill of the people to pay, nobody would pay. People would always find a way to escape from paying taxes. And so there's an important issue that you have to maintain a tension and a balance there between the electorate and between the government, who is issuing tax decrees and passing laws to raise taxes. There has to be a cooperative effort there, a respect for each other. And so as a result of that, and in addition to that, once the government gets the taxes, once the government gets the money in their coffers, they have to spend it wisely, use it as it was intended to be used, not steal it. That's the big problem we have here in Kenya, so much government corruption. The money gets stolen, and therefore the roads don't get fixed. The health care isn't there when you go to the hospital, and nothing improves for the life of the common people. Therefore, they don't trust the government. They don't willfully pay taxes. They look for ways to escape the tax burden. They look for ways just to take care of themselves and try to avoid interaction with the government. And so as a result, nothing ever improves in the life of the citizens. Well, where do nations come from? That's a good question. Did God ordain nations to have borders? Does God know about nations? Did God care about nations? Where did nations come from? Why can't we just all mingle together and go from one country to another and pass through each other's countries? There'd be no borders. We're just all one big happy family, and we're just all one big happy organization here on the earth, and there's no controls for people when they go from one place to another. Trust me, that is not God's will. You try to go from Kenya into Uganda. I'm not talking about Mexico to America. I'm talking about Kenya to Uganda. And you're going to have to show all kinds of papers just to get from Kenya into Uganda. If you don't have the right papers, you can't pass through. Yes, you can find a place in the bush to cross through illegally. I'm sure some people do that. But for the most part, the border controls from Kenya going into Uganda, going into South Sudan, going into Ethiopia, going into Somalia and Tanzania, the controls are very tight. You have to show lots of papers. You have to show health documents like yellow fever certificates and COVID certificates. All this stuff has to be shown before you will be allowed to go into your neighbor's country. So that is God's plan. That is God's way of dealing with the chaos that would be if we were all just passing from one nation to another without any regard for safety and security. Trust me, beloved, that all the people in Central America, maybe not all, but the majority of them would love to come to America, love to come and try to get a new start, because most of the people, if you travel around the world, most of the people you will find out, they are sold on the American dream. They're sold on the idea that they can come to America and improve their life, not just a little bit, but substantially. And in many cases, that's very true. They can improve their life substantially by coming to the United States of America because they don't have the opportunity in their home country. There's so much corruption, there's so much violence, there's so much gangbanging going on that they don't have that opportunity in their home country. And so they know if they can get to America, that opportunity would open up for them. The question is, do we want 100 million people from Central America and Venezuela and China coming in to the USA? Do we want 200 million? Do we want 300 million? Is this just a ploy to change the demographics of the United States of America so certain people and certain political parties can establish themselves without any challenge and without any competition? I don't think we want an unlimited number of people who don't have American values and don't understand what we stand for in America. I don't think we want 100 million people here in America, and that's where we're headed. Do you think that's an exaggeration? In just the last 3 years, we've allowed in about 12 million, and there was probably 15 million illegals in the United States before that. Go to California and look around. And so that's just 25 million already up to this point. So don't think 50 million or 100 million of people flooding into this country is an exaggeration. It can happen, and we're well on our way to establishing that number. So where did the nations come from? Was it God's idea? Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, go into all the nations. So Jesus knew about nations. Was it his idea? Was he okay with people having nations and borders and security for those nations? He said, go into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching all that I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so Jesus knew about the nations. He was okay with nations because he's the one that established nations. And he established them so people could have law and order. People could have order over chaos. People could have order over disorder. And so this comes from Genesis chapter 11. If you look in your Bible, the story of the Tower of Babel, it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, that is, as the people journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And so I'm going to stop right there, because these people had intentions to challenge God. Now, I don't know if they were going to build a tower to the whole top of heaven. I don't think that's hardly possible. But some people say that they were building a tower so they could look at the stars. And the old days, and even today, astrology is a way of trying to predict your future. Astrology is trying to determine your future by looking at stars, looking at the patterns of heavens. And so astrology is basically a demonic plan. It's looking to something other than the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and counsel. It's looking at something other than the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the counsel of the Holy Spirit to give you a predictability about your life. And so they were looking at the heavens. They wanted to make a name for themselves. Their leader was Nimrod. He was a rebel. They were wanting to make a name for themselves so that they would be able to challenge God. And so this is the spirit of the Antichrist. That is what is on display here, the spirit of the Antichrist that has raised itself up against the knowledge of God. And they didn't want to be scattered. They said, we want to make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. How did they know that God was going to scatter them abroad? Because they knew what they were doing was wrong. They knew what they were doing was in rebellion to God. They were going to try to get up to heaven or look to the heavens and establish for themselves their own plan and their own direction. Verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, verse 6, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. And so God said, because he was speaking to Jesus here, he said, because they have a common language, they can communicate, they can speak to each other, and they have a common purpose, which is to challenge God and rebel against God, that nothing that they propose for themselves, nothing that they think for themselves or that the devil puts in their mind, nothing will be impossible for them. They will be able to do whatever they propose to do, whatever the devil gives them to do, they will be able to do it, because they have perfect communication with each other. And so, and then verse 7, come, let us. This is God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. Come, let us. So if you don't believe in the Trinity, if somebody's trying to tell you there's no Trinity, there's a good scripture right there to illustrate the Trinity. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language. that they may not understand one another's speech. And so God was speaking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They were all in unity. They were all in one accord. They were all in perfect unity in what they intended to do. And they said, let us go down and we're going to confuse their speech and keep them from this evil intention they have of challenging us and taking over and listening to the devil instead of the Holy Spirit, instead of God Almighty in their life. And then verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building that city. Verse 9, therefore its name is called Babel, which means confusion, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. And so that's where the nations came from. That's where the languages came from. They went from one language where they could all communicate to thousands of languages. I have no idea how many languages there are on the earth, many, many thousands. Even here in Kenya alone, we have 47 tribes. Each tribe has their own language. Each tribe has many dialects. The Luhya tribe that I deal with here in Kakamega County, Kenya, the Luhya tribe has 17 different dialects just within this one tribe. And this tribe, Luhya, is one of 47. Actually, there's more, but that's all that has been codified in law. There's 47 tribes in Kenya. Many, many dialects, hundreds of languages. In Congo, you go and there's probably 250 tribal languages and dialects of those tribal languages. Just in the Democratic Republic of Congo, there are many, many thousands of languages and so dialects. And so God confused the people. He established them in nation groups, in cultural groups, in boundary groups. And so that is where the nations came from. God is okay with that. It was his plan. Jesus is okay with that. It was his plan. The Holy Spirit was okay with that. It was his plan. We're not all just going to mingle together without boundaries, without borders, and sing Kumbaya. That is not going to happen. So today, that is going to be the end of this series. If you enjoy these messages, if you appreciate these messages, sit down today, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, drop us a note in the mail, and we would be happy and we would bless you with some literature to get you started on your Christian walk, or let you know that we appreciate your donation. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.